But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world. To
welcome back, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Scott McQuaid. That's Dr. Scott McQuaid. He is the author of several books. Paxeon Publishing, that's P-A-X-E-O-N, publishing.com. ScottMcQuaid.com will get you there, too. And we also, if you're interested in learning a lot more and getting a sort of a personal angle here, innercircle.us is his... well, if you will, social networking and learning group. Scott, we got cut off there. You're talking about the notion that the magic trick of taking Adam's rib out of Adam and creating Eve, who was tempted by the serpent or Serapenta, and then original sin, and all of these different things. This is what you were referring to the term exegesis, I believe it is, which is the study of all these things. Can you explain what exegesis is before we go on, and then get back to this whole fascinating topic of DNA, RNA?
Sure, Clint, yeah. Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Right, is simply, it just means to interpret, but I don't really like to use that because it carries with it the idea of some kind of personal opinion, and that's not what it's about. It really is talking about uncovering, to unveil something, so you can see what it really is about, and that's what it is. It's within the system of hermeneutics, the science of interpretation that is taught different people of different studies, but it's primarily taught within the seminaries to interpret biblical languages. So,
well, why in the heck would isn't that named after the god Hermes?
Well, yeah, and this is you hit the nail on the head. This is why, I mean, this literally is why pastors and theologians will never, ever understand what the Bible is truly telling us, because they have been taught a system that is based on the principles of Hermes. Hermes is where we get the name hermeneutics. Hermes is the primary figure upon which Freemasonry and the Illuminati base their philosophy. You can call him Thoth, you can call him Mercury, messenger of the gods. This is not this is a reference to a fallen angel, is what it truly is. Now, there's much truth in Hermetic philosophy, but it is also blended with lies, or what Jesus or Asu referred to as leaven, yeast, which breeds infection and causes sickness, like in our body. So this is why I had to, and I was actually called to and led to develop a system of exegesis, right, that's never been done before, to actually find out what these things in the Bible were telling us. And that's what I teach my apprentices at the Inner Circle. And it takes the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Greek, the different languages, and breaks them down into the logograms, usually of the Sumerian cuneiform. This has never been done before, and to my knowledge, no one else does this, but there's a reason for that. And when you do that, it just opens up everything. It's like a flower blossoming. And all of the different stories and the allegories and the parables of the Bible finally make sense. That's what all my books are about. Mm. And so, and this is the same thing that you know, I had to do in the beginning here in Genesis to find out what was actually going on. But the rib, the word rib actually is a logogram in the Sumerian language, R-I-B. And it means to be higher in rank. Okay? Now the Bible tells us, well, first of all, I should say that the rib is a reference to the ribose molecule. The ribose molecule, or RNA, ribonucleic acid, is five-sided, like a Chevy symbol, like a chevron, okay? And it's like a star, right? We all learned to make stars when we were kids, you know, the five-sided star, and that's what a ribose molecule is shaped as. Now, the Bible tells us that Lucifer would place her throne, right, above the stars, or in among the stars of God, and rise up, to rise up like God in doing so. Well, what this is talking about is this thing that was placed into the genetic material called the rib of Adam, right, or the RNA,
mm-hmm.
To manifest Eve. Now, you can think of the stars as the stars of God, of the Creator, of the true Creator. And in infusing or splicing this other piece of genetic material, molecule, if you will, into the genetic material of Adam, Lucifer manifested herself as Eve, literally. Because remember, I said that RNA is necessary for the parasite to live, to survive, and to replicate itself. That's what a parasite needs, is nucleic acid. And this is what happened, literally. This is why the word Eve in the Hebrew and the word, the root of the word Yahweh, right, are the same. The root for Eve and the root for Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, which is Hava, are both the same in Eve and the Tetragrammaton. And that word, Hava, means to fall, or to fall out, as in to fall out of favor. And this is what has happened. The one who rebelled from the Creator, which we read about in Revelation chapter 12, which is a woman travailing to be delivered. I want you to think about these words, people who are listening. The woman was travailing to be delivered. And it gives you the idea of a woman who is pregnant or wanting to be pregnant. She's just dying to be pregnant, to deliver, right? To conceive, or she has conceived. In other words, she not necessarily has conceived already, but she has conceived a plan. She's hatched a plan in her mind, which she conceived, right? And she's dying to manifest this thing. And that's what she did. She died. She died to manifest the thing that she had conceived. And that story is told in the Ark of the Covenant. She was a fallen angel. She was the leader of the fallen angel. Literally. She took a third of the stars, okay? And which the word for star in the Greek is aster. And it means not only star, but it means angel, too. Both. Aster means star and angel. These are the fallen angels, which we read about in Genesis chapter 1, that created man, who posed as God. And they couldn't get it right. They couldn't make man. Man was bad. Man was killed or exterminated, as I pointed out in the first part of the show. And so the leader came down, called Lucifer, and literally, through genetic alchemy or genetic modification, if you will, took the ribonucleic acid called the rib of Adam, which is the necessary component for cloning in our genetics, put something into it, all right, from herself, and manifested herself out of him. That's why the root of Eve, which is Hava, and the root of the Tetragrammaton, which is Hava, are the same. They mean to fall, just as the fallen angels, and just as the word for Anunnaki in the Sumerian tablets means the fallen ones. So what's going on here? This is altogether different than what we're taught within the church, within Christianity, but that's what the Bible said would happen, that the truth would only come out in the end times. And Jesus warned about it over and over. In Matthew chapter 23, as a matter of fact, 7 times in a row, he warned about the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes, which were the ones who wrote most of the Bible. He called them liars. Jeremiah 8:8 flatly, plainly tells us clearly that they were liars. And Jesus said it. He told us over and over again, but we didn't listen. That's why it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 that because people did not love the truth, God handed them over to a strong delusion that would cause them to believe a lie. And these are the same ones that the Bible elsewhere tells us are those who loveth a lie. This is why there's, when I teach these things, inevitably every time I get a lot of hostility and animosity from Christians, because they are the ones who love the doctrinal lies. They've never researched the things themselves. They just believe the doctrine.
So then the question becomes, you know, again, we describe the word scribe can be taken so many different ways, but one of those ways is agent, attorney. And of course, what is a priest but an attorney for God, an agent of God,
right,
a messenger of God? So when the Bible says, woe ye to ye attorneys, and I believe it even says, transliterated anyways, woe unto priests, does it not?
It does. And these are the same ones that in the book of Matthew, Jesus thanks the Father. He thanks the Father for hiding these things from the Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S in the Greek, which means pastors.
Mm.
Okay, it's there. It's there. And these are the same ones who in Babylon, in Jeremiah 2:8, in Jeremiah 10:21, Jeremiah 12:10, Jeremiah 22:22, Jeremiah 23:1-2, and elsewhere in the book of Ezekiel, these pastors are blamed by name. They are called the pastors for leading the people into spiritual, financial, and physical slavery in Babylon. And this is why at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, especially verse 4 of chapter 18, Jesus says, in reference to Mystery Babylon, again, they have a reference to Babylon, he says, come out of her, reference to Eve and other things, as we can talk about, my people, so you do not partake of her sin and suffer her plagues. So, like it says in Ecclesiastes, we live in a cycle. What has been before will be again. There's nothing new under the sun. They were led into Babylon early in the Old Testament by the pastors. We're in Mystery Babylon now, and those who are at fault for leading people into spiritual slavery are the same pastors.
Well, and this goes back to the notion of the sophistry of education, the notion that, I can get a master's degree in education and I can immediately become a teacher of what I've just learned. That's a frightening thought. Not that you need life experience or you need to verify what you actually learned. You have churches like the Mormon Church that say, well, congratulations, you're 16 years old and you're now an elder.
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you flat out, honestly, what I've learned about the exegesis, about the language, about the true meaning of all these stories and passages in the Bible, I never learned in school. I've got my bachelor's, my master's, my PhD, and I've even got more than that for almost probably another degree, but that was good for me to get a basic foundation. But I am an example of how someone who goes through those kinds of things can regurgitate it. People have told me for years I should have my own church, it would be huge, and all this kind of stuff. I don't want that. I don't want to regurgitate the kind of stuff that I was taught. I want people to know the truth and what's going on so they can be free. People who sit under pastors and listen to the doctrine are not free. And as we can talk about later, there's a very important reason why the truth, knowing the truth, is so important. Because in the coming days, people are going to have to make decisions, personal decisions, as to who they are going to follow. And Jesus knew this. He knew it. He said over and over that the truth is important. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. He said the way to true life is narrow, and there are only few who find it. But when you put that against the fact that millions and millions of people are Christians, or you know, in some other religion that believe they know the truth, what is that? What do we do with that idea that the truth is only known by few, and the road to that truth, the true life, is narrow and only few find it? What do we do with that? Was he lying to us? No. It's us that have to change the way we think and what we believe, and align our minds with the truth instead of with the doctrines. The doctrines were created by the scribes, just like a doctor today would prescribe a medicine, a pharmaceutical. And knowing that, when you understand that pharmaceuticals really produce a lot of yeast and candida in the body, which is a perfect environment for disease, then you should understand that the doctrines of the scribes who wrote them produce spiritual disease. And furthermore, in the book of Revelation, we're told that they have done all this, and they would rule by witchcraft, the casting of spells, and sorceries. But the word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakia, which literally means pharmakia, pharmaceuticals. That's why you can't turn on the television and watch it for more than 10 minutes without seeing, you know, a barrage of pharmaceutical commercials, because that is a primary mechanism by which they are ruling over people and controlling your mind. If you get vaccinated, you're a fool. If you take pharmaceuticals, unless it's absolutely positively necessary, you're simply allowing yourself to be a victim of their control mechanism. You know, there's all kinds of information out there about vaccines. If you want good information about vaccines, listen to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She'll talk about the thimerosal, the mercury, and the different things that are in these. And listen to videos about the VA2 gene. I think it's called the VAT2 gene, mm-hmm. which is a gene in the body that literally they can now turn on and turn off. And why that's important is because that gene is what enables a person to have an interest in God.
Yeah.
They literally can turn it on and off. And the man said, who was giving the lecture, stated openly in public that the way they are going to turn off this gene is through the flu vaccine. They just came out and said it. I mean, people, this is not science fiction. This is like 1984 in your
face. Right. Well, this was all predicted by Rudolf Steiner, by Aldous Huxley, and these weren't predictions as much as they were explaining what's going to happen through the technocracy, through the scientific dictatorship that he called it, Mr. Huxley. So, yeah, absolutely. We speak of this often, and I was going to ask you, because we've come to the conclusion that the word archon comes from archaea, which is the extremophile life form, prions, and all of that stuff. And it is our opinion that the quote-unquote archons, again, aren't aliens from space in the thought that we perceive the movie version of aliens, but are in fact the very things that attach to their RNA-based life on Earth, the competitive life form from all DNA. And they're much more ancient than the life on Earth, the DNA life on Earth, and that is what RNA is, literally what controls the DNA. And so the word archon actually stems from that notion that, you know, some parasite, as you say, is in your body, and it's controlling the expression of your genes through the epigenome, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that, isn't there some correlation that you uncovered with the Serapenta, the serpent, the symbol of the very medical profession, which I'm trying to think of the name of, can't remember. But isn't that the double helix, and is that what we're talking about when we say that the nucleic acid was added to it?
Right. Right. Well, first let me tell you, you're right on the money when you talk about the archons. If you look at, like, Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, verse 58, it uses the word arche, which is from the word archon, to refer to the magistrates. Okay, so when you look at the word archon, it's the same as Elohim, because that's what Elohim means also, the rulers, the judges, and the magistrates. So we're looking at two different words, which is what one of the ways that they confuse everybody. Two different words which actually mean the same thing, refer to the same entities. And yes, this is how they rule. They, in the beginning, they literally manifested themselves into humanity from their mother, to be quite frank. This was Lucifer, disguised as Jehovah or Yahweh. I break this down in my books, and I go through, in erudite detail how the words correlate to the Sumerian logograms, how they were taken and twisted and created new Hebrew and Greek words out of them. So you'll learn everything about this if you get into this or read the books and things. But this is how they did it, through the genetic manipulation. When we hear in the Bible that Eve was seduced or beguiled by the serpent, right? The knowledge of the serpent. What this literally translates as is Eve was seduced by the knowledge of the serpenta. That word serpenta, is the root of it is Nachash, the root of which is Hillel, which is where we get the word double helix DNA, comes from the word Hillel, which is the shining one. It's a reference to phosphorus. Okay, phosphorus shines, all right, before it is oxygenated. But once phosphorus, by the way, I should say this, that phosphorus is the Latin translation of the Greek word for the planet Venus, which they called Lucifer. Okay, so we have a connection to a piece of our DNA to Lucifer. And when phosphorus is oxygenated, think of a fallen angel or a fallen star coming into the oxygenated environment of Earth. When phosphorus is oxygenated, it becomes a phosphate. And a phosphate is a six-sided molecule, an old term for which is pyran, P-Y-R-A-N, which is one of two molecules in our DNA, the other being the rib or the ribose molecule. Okay? And this other molecule, this phosphate, which used to be phosphorus before Lucifer divided herself, right, or manifested herself through Adam, is the other molecule. Now, the word pyran, which is an old genetic term you don't hear much anymore, which refers to a six-sided molecule, is from the Latin, which means, or Latin word pyre, P-Y-R-E, which means fire. Okay? And this is the molecule that was added, and in the Bible it is literally referred to as the fire of Molech. Now, if you're on your toes, you'll recognize a connection or similarity in the word Molech to the word molecule. That's because it's supposed to be that way. That's one of those things they put in our face, but until this knowledge came out, no one knew this was what it's talking about. The Israelites were told not to put their children before the fires of Molech. What it really means is they were not to put their children above the fire of Molech. In other words, they were not to undo the DNA. Okay? In other words, put the ribose in front of the phosphate molecule. That's what it literally means. The way it's taught within Christianity and historically is that the Jews took their babies and they put them in this Carthaginian bull called Molech, and they lit a fire under it and they sacrificed their babies. That's an overt and exoteric surface view. Whether that happened or not, no one really knows. But that's the legend. But I'm telling you the real meaning of this is that they bore children, right, by the fires of Molech. In other words, until this molecule, this fiery molecule called the pyran, or called the phosphate, was put into the genetics of Adam, procreation was not possible. We would call it sex, right? But sex, the word sex, just comes from the numerical system of the Sumerians, which was a sexagesimal system, meaning a system of of enumeration, which was based on the number 6. That's why it's a 6-sided molecule. And this is why it's, you know, intercourse is called sex. But intercourse is also the legal term for commerce.
Yes.
Now this is very important. I want people to get this. Okay? When the Bible tells you that you would not be able to take, or excuse me, it tells us that we would not be able to buy or sell unless we had the mark, right, of the beast, which we're told is 666, which in the Greek is hex, 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 which we would call a spell because a hex is a spell, right? What this is referring to, literally, and I want you to understand this, is the thing with which we were made, which is called carbon. All life on this planet, whether it be plant, animal, or human, is carbon-based, specifically carbon-7. Okay? Carbon-7 has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. That is, by definition, the mark of the beast, as a fact. I talk about this in my book, The Tribulation, and I go into detail about it. We already have the mark of the beast, which is why we can procreate. Procreation is called intercourse. It's a giving and a taking, a buying and selling. It's an exchange. And this is why the powers that be, the judicial system, the judges, the rulers, the magistrates, right, the judiciary, made the term intercourse to refer to commerce in the legal arena. That is the reason why. Okay? We have the mark, which is why we can procreate. We were not meant to do it through the addition of a 6-sided molecule, through the fire of Molech, or the molecule that was added to the rib. It was a no-no. It was unlawful, carnal knowledge. And if you've been around a while, if you're a truth seeker, and you've done some study in this arena, you know where I'm heading with this. This is where the old legend came about, being found under carnal knowledge. The old legend says that the king would not allow procreation without his consent. Things had to be proper. Things had to be appropriate. They had to be righteous in order to engage in this knowledge and to implement this system of procreation. If you were found under carnal knowledge, right, you were put to death. In other words, if you were found fucking without the king's consent, you were put to death, because the mechanism by which we were to replicate ourselves was only to be done through RNA, not through DNA. DNA was a construct that was manufactured by the fallen angels. It was their own way. This is what the Bible means when it says everyone has gone their own way. There is none righteous, no, not one. Because they...
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Got to take a quick break. Stay tuned, folks. This is fascinating stuff. Hope you're taking notes. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall-Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu-fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Water, water, like water, like water, like water. Water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Here in the Corporation Nation, we're talking to Scott McQuaid today. That's Dr. Scott McQuaid from Paxion Publishing, P-A-X-E-O-N, where you can find all his books, so many. And, you know, I'm not asking you for a lot of sources of information tonight because I know that you've done your due diligence. This is all going to be found in your works. But I did want to ask your source on the notion, and I've seen it in the etymology before, but the source of your notion of the whatever it actually means, fornication under the command of the king, that sort of thing. Where does that actually stem from? And it seems to me like they've sort of said, well, we can actually use this act, this depraving act of sex, as a weapon and use it as a distraction. And as long as people are focused on that, they'll never come over here and actually do any due diligence. We'll just, you know, use sex as a weapon instead of... And we have population control and vaccines, so it's no big deal. It's actually a better way.
Right. Well, it's a very old legend. It's actually hard to come by. Years ago in my research, I came across some old papers. I don't remember who gave them to me, but they were... tattered, and they were old, and they had this legend on it. Now, since then, I've looked online, and I haven't been able to find this, but I have talked with some Freemasons who recollect having heard this, but it's real. It's there. But the idea, there's more to support the idea of sex being being against the way of the Creator than just that old legend. If you want to read the books, it's all throughout the books when I break down the words. It's easy to see. Once you begin to see how they've manipulated the words, you can see that this was not a construct. This was not a mechanism that was ordained by the true Creator. That becomes pretty obvious.
Is this to say that, is that because, again, the sort of the strange notion to most is that the creation itself and man are two different, if you will, two different creators, one being, you know, as you said, made by God, the other a creation of something else. Is that what you're referring? Because obviously sexual reproduction is all throughout nature.
Right, but we have to understand who it was that created nature. That's why I went back to Genesis chapter 1 and I began to explain all of these things in detail, because the foundation that's been laid for us, in whether it's in school or whether it's in Christianity or Islam or anything, just being a member of the society of the world, right? We've been taught that that's how things are supposed to be done. You know, the birds and the bees kind of thing. And, but this is why the foundation has to be, we have to clear away the faulty foundation. And let me give an example of this. Jesus says that he is the stone that the builders rejected that became the cornerstone. Okay? He's referring to a passage in, I think it's Proverbs or Psalms, when it says the same thing. Now, think of the pyramid, right? And think of the pyramid as being five-sided, four sides and a bottom. It's got five sides, just like the ribose molecule, right? Now, when he says he was the stone, that word is meaning the capstone, right? It was rejected, that became the cornerstone, meaning the foundation stone. And now think of the pyramid, the Great Pyramid at Giza, not having a capstone, which it doesn't. Not having a capstone, it's got a sixth side, just like the molecule that was added to the rib or ribose of Adam, who Colossians says was the first Christ.
So now, the all-seeing eye symbol that we see on the dollar bill over as the capstone, what is a, obviously a Masonic concept. So what does that represent?
Well, it's talking about the same thing. It's talking about the same thing. What happened was they took the five and they replaced it with a six, just like they took the five-sided rib of Adam, the ribose, and they inserted the six-sided molecule, or the fire of Molech, into that genetic construct, which at one time was pure. And because they built upon, they took the capstone off, in other words, they took the RNA and built upon it rather than allowing it to be the primary construct, things are crooked now. And when Jesus said this to the Pharisees, he told them this. He said, have you not heard that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and this is a marvelous thing in our eyes? They got angry and they wanted to kill him, because he was exposing what they had done. They had genetically modified the genetics, right, and done things their own way. And this is why they wanted to kill him, because he was making that known to everyone. Imagine what the world would be if we did not have the trappings of this construct, whether it be physical intercourse or whether it is commercial intercourse. Right? Uh-huh. What would the world be like without these trappings, the debt that is brought on by both of these things? And we lived in a world that was morally pure, that was righteous, that was ethical, that was void of greed, that was void of these other outgrowths of a debt-based system. And by the way, I should tell you that the word for this genetic construct, this molecule, this fire molek, in the Sumerian is referred to as jinn, G-I-N, which also means to pay a debt. And this is why the world is up to its eyebrows and beyond in debt today. The financial debt we are in today is simply an outgrowth of the debt, the genetic debt that we entered into when we took it upon ourselves, or when our forefathers took it upon ourselves years ago. It was a contract to build a temple. And that temple is simply a metaphor for the body of man. And this is what we do today when we buy a house, when we buy our temples today. We enter into a pledge of death. Mm-hmm. And people, homeowners say, well, what is he talking, what pledge of death? I went down to Wells Fargo and got a loan. What's he talking? Well, here's what I'm talking about. And this is why it's so important to understand the meanings of words. When you get a home today in our system of intercourse or commerce, you get a mortgage. Mortgage is a word that is from two Latin words, muerte, gage. Muerte means death, and gage means pledge. A mortgage is literally a pledge of death. And this is why the pledge that we took on ourselves for the temple of the body is also a form of a pledge of death. And this is why Jesus, in the New Testament, speaking to us from a future perspective, having already passed out of the space-time continuum which the Sumerians talk about, said, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, because he understood that the word sin literally means procreation. And if anybody doubts this, which you shouldn't, if anybody doubts this, all you need to do is search for the Hebrew letter called sin. It is a letter called sin, S-I-N, in the Hebrew language. And it shows two serpents coming together in the form of a V, and at the apex, at the bottom of that V, a parallel line, or a line going across horizontally and perpendicularly coming up to a third serpent. It shows two coming together to create a third. And the name of that letter is called sin. We're told in our world that, you know, things like hate and greed and lying and fornication and just all of these different things are sin. That's not sin. Or we're told that sin means missing the mark, according to all the pastors here in Mystery Babylon. That's not sin. Okay? Missing the mark can mean a lot of different things. If you and I, Clint, are playing, let's say we're at an archery range, right? And we both have our bow and arrow, we're shooting, and I miss, and you say, oh, you missed the mark. That's a little different than if we're in an underground bunker, right? And we push a button to set off a nuclear bomb, and we're aiming for a city, and we miss the city and hit something else, right? In both scenarios, we've missed the mark, but the context in which we've missed that mark is altogether different, and it means entirely different things. So the idea of missing the mark being sin is nonsense. Missing the mark is just a little way they explain it, but the sin is procreation, and all of the other things that we're taught are sin that I mentioned are simply outgrowths of the original sin, which was sex, or more specifically, procreation.
So really we're talking about the side effects of the original sin, which was the mixing of the RNA, DNA functionality, and so all of these things that are happening to us, our emotional state and well-being, are just symptoms of that notion of sin.
That's exactly what it is. And this is what it means in Daniel, too, when it tells us that they will mingle their seed with the seed of man. The seed of man, it says, just as iron is mixed with miry clay, but they will not cling to one another as iron does not mix with clay. This is, the seed of man was the RNA. The seed of the angel was the phosphate.
Obviously, a seed has cellular memory, so that would certainly make sense. This, any seed is going to have the memory of its host. So yeah, right. It makes perfect sense. Now, is this the symbol of the caduceus?
Yes.
For the medical profession as well?
Yes. Which at one time was a single serpent, right? And it became the medical symbol today, which is two. Sarah, if you study the history of that medical symbol, it used to be one, and now it's two intertwined. And that's why they have to use pharmakia, like it tells us in the Bible, that to rule by, because they need to constantly repair this construct of DNA that they unlawfully created. And I didn't really get to finish explaining what it meant when it says that Eve was seduced by the knowledge of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
That word in the English serpent, I talked a little bit about how it was, the root is nakash. And the root of that is Hillel, which is where we get the word he licks, right? But in the English, this word serpent is a play on two words, stera, S-E-R-A, right? Which is from the Hebrew word seraphim, which is a reference to an angel with six wings. Again, a reference to the six-sided molecule. And penta, which is a Greek word, which means five. Which is a reference to the five-sided molecule. Sarah, penta, therefore, is simply a reference to the double helix DNA made up of a six-sided molecule and a five-sided molecule, and that is the knowledge of that DNA is the thing by which she was seduced when she was in the form of Lucifer, and she manifested herself as Eve through her knowledge of the serpenta, which is what she was seduced by. This is what it literally is talking about. It wasn't some fruit from a tree. It was the fruit that she wanted to obtain from Adam. Adam's fruit of his loins, which is why in the book of Ezekiel, Adam is called a tree. And she did this just like it says in the book of Isaiah, so she would never be childless, and she would never be a widow.
But it says
she did not consider the end of her actions, and they would be taken from her in 1 minute.
What's the parable of the trees? Then if Adam means tree, and they're cutting down trees...
Well, this is what they were doing. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, when the sons of God, which is simply a reference to the fallen angels... It says they were felling trees, and they were doing it with, and I really hope people are taking notes because this is good stuff. They were felling trees with axe heads, okay? And this is what was done to Adam with the molecule. So what's the connection of the molecule with which Adam was felled and the axe head with which the sons of God were using to fell trees? Well, if you recall, earlier in the discussion, I was talking about how the Sumerian logogram that it correlates with this same molecule, the phosphate, is gin. Now, incidentally, gin is a reference in the Arabic language. It's spelled D-J-I-N-N. In the Sumerian, it is rendered as G-I-N from the cuneiform. But in the Arabic, it's a reference to the demons. Okay, again, a reference to fallen angels. But in the Sumerian, this logogram, G-I-N, literally means not only to pay a debt, like I mentioned earlier, but it also means axe head. So, again, we have sufficient evidence to show that this molecule of the phosphate, which at one time was phosphorus, which is Lucifer, is one and the same as the axe with which Adam was felled when his rib or ribose was used to splice two, because these are the parasites. Now, this is also, if you remember, I said the word was pyran, an old term used in the genetic arena to refer to a six-sided molecule, or a six-sided genetic construct, really. And this is why the word vampire is used, is even exists. Because the word, these are the succubuses. These are the ones who extract from you. These are the ones who take your seed. These are the ones who deplete you of your energy in many different ways. Taxes, your orgone energy, which is created only when a man and a woman have intercourse. The sweat of your brow, they take your wages. In lots of different ways. These are the vampires. And the word vampire is from the Latin word vam, V-A-M, which means tween, as in between, and pyre, which means, again, fire. So vampire, the ones who suck your energy, suck your blood, take your sustenance, right, are represented by the fire between. That is, again, a reference to the molecule of the pyran that is between the rib or the ribose molecules of Adam or humans, which makes up DNA. And this is why the Bible says that Dan is a serpent.
Well, tell you what, we'll be back. Hold that thought.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remember that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away, and I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
But I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Is this real? Or is this just rhyme?
The world is like a ride.
Think it's real, think it's real. It's just a ride.
We can change it anytime we want.
It's only the choice between fear and love.
Alright, folks, welcome back. So today, literally coming to you from hell, that is our situation. Scott, I sure appreciate you coming today, and you'll be back tomorrow, thank God, because we feel like we've scratched a massive surface that needs to be filled in. Paxionpublishing.com will get you to Scott's works, his books, also innercircle.us will get you to his social media. a site which you can join, and you can get a lot more information, including one-on-ones with our guest today. Really, really fascinating stuff. I'm sorry that we had to cut you off there at the last second. You were talking about how that all related to, I believe it was it ham?
We were talking, what were we talking about when we closed? About the Serpenta, or were, what were we on at that point?
you were just about to relate it to a character in the Bible. Was it Shem or Ham or?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's okay.
I lost it.
it's fascinating stuff. There's plenty of Scott McQuaid interviews on the online. We only have a couple minutes here, but I did want to say that maybe tomorrow we'll certainly get into this notion. But you know, you keep referring to the six-sided star compared to the five-sided star, and
right.
You have all. Of course, America with its five-sided stars, and you have now America's, basically bonded, permanent bonded ally for some reason, which is Israel, which, of course,
right.
The obvious is that they display the six-sided star. And, of course, the six-sided star being the Seal of Solomon, the five-sided star being the lesser Seal of Solomon. Obviously, there's some correlations here, and we'll get into that tomorrow. But fascinating stuff, I gotta say. Again, thank you. Now, the word God is just the final question. I heard that you said it was coming from a GU.
Right. Yeah, everyone around the world has come to believe that the word God is a reference to the supreme creator. And if you go into the, you know, jungles of the Amazon or Africa or other places, you know, around the world, and you don't speak the language, but you point your finger in the air and you say God, they say, oh yeah, God. They know. People know what that little word refers to in our society, in our world. But that's a lie. That word literally is a reference to the ones who unlawfully manufactured this place. And it is a reference to the Sumerian logogram GU. The logogram GU literally is pronounced God. But in English, we would pronounce it, if you pronounce it with a soft G, like George or geography or something, we would pronounce it Jew. These are the ones who Jesus said, these are his words. He said, those who say they are Jews are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan, in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. This is one of the primary reasons that they rule the world through the banking system, through Hollywood, through the financial system. Oh my goodness, it's just the way it is. And people who get up in arms and say, well, they're the chosen people of God, remember what the word God literally means.
So those who say they are God but are not is another way of saying those who say they are Jews but are not, huh?
Precisely. And that bond between America and the U.S. will soon be broken, just like the DNA will soon.
Well, yeah, and you know, they had to create this whole concept of a state of Israel and fly that flag before they could break it up and symbolically. So, well, thanks, Scott. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Folks, stay tuned for Bob Duskin here on Republic. Take care.
With financial uncertainty,